broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for November the 28th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances put in place by the founding fathers, one of the brilliant moves, we still have that solution at our fingertips today if we would use it. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We were live on Thanksgiving Day. We were live yesterday, the day after. We are live again today as well. On the Sabbath, we shall take a rest. A quick recap of a couple of stories we had from Thursday's broadcast, Thanksgiving Day broadcast. We talked about Donald Trump pardons Michael Flynn, pardons Thanksgiving turkeys, but why not pardon Steve Stockman? See, President Trump hasn't got that done yet. Surely he's got to know about the former congressman's story by now. Why hasn't he done it? I don't know. I'm so disappointed. I pray that he gets this done before he leaves office, is all I can say. We really need the President of the United States to get that done. We just cannot have these good guys rotting in prison. All right, it was a narrow decision, but a great one. 5-4, Amy Coney Barrett stood tall. Supreme Court to New York, quote, "The Constitution still matters." People of faith were giving something extra special to be thankful for late Thanksgiving Eve. So Wednesday night, with Justice Barrett casting the deciding vote, the Supreme Court issued a decision stopping New York Governor Andrew Cuomo from enforcing strict 10-person or sometimes 25-person limitations for attending religious services. Now, that's huge, folks. It's narrow. There's a lot more that the judges could have done, but it's a start, and at least it's the right decision for a change. There you have it. Pennsylvania judge blocks certification of key states' election results, so we'll see what happens there. President Trump's been taking a beating, though, in the courts, folks. He really has. The judges he appointed are turning on the president, saying there's no merit here. We'll get into that as the broadcast unfolds. We also talked about a new subpoena in critical key states, or swing states, as they call them. Right now, there are more than a dozen lawsuits going on in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Nevada, and an active recount's happening right now. They say they're subpoenaing and gathering new evidence. And anyway, the battle goes on and on and on, but the courts are not friendly to President Trump. He's lost way more suits than he's won. Dr. Robert Epstein even doubles down. He's a Democrat. He says Google bias shifted at least 6 million votes. He's a Harvard Democrat, well known as a, I don't know what you want to call it, a truth teller in the movie Creepy Line. But even Dr. Robert Epstein says there's vote fraud going on. Google's at the center of it. There's so many vote fraud allegations, it is hard to even get a handle on it. But the courts seem to be jettisoning all rhyme or reason. Attorney Matt Staver says that he's dragging Governor Newsom to the Supreme Court. Good for him. The draconian abuse has gone on long enough over the COVID virus, that's for sure. Judge agrees to hear evidence of vote fraud in Nevada. So that's all good news. That's some of the things we talked about on Thursday. We also gave a lot of thanks on that live Thanksgiving broadcast. Yesterday, we had a guest on. Her name was Michelle Steeb. And Michelle Steeb is the author of a book called Answers Behind the Red Door, Battling America's Homeless Epidemic. Homelessness is not a problem that'll go away on its own. We've got to tackle it head on, and one size fits all does not work, she says. Are sanctioned homeless camps a good idea? We talked about that a bit. We had her on a little bit for the second hour as well yesterday. And we talked about reduced homelessness, expanding the toolbox, a program put in place by President Trump. See, the one-size-fits-all plan under Obama was an absolute failure. But the whole-of-government response to homelessness deals with the individual. Expanding the toolbox is what it's called. Check it out. We also talked about, can I create a homeless tent camp? And believe it or not, cities have created laws in recent years making it virtually impossible for homeless people to live in their towns. They give law enforcement officers the ability to arrest and to do all kinds of things. Really, where do you go? What do you do? We talked about the four basics of human survival. Food, clothing, shelter, and fuel. They're essential for our existence. And believe it or not, a homeless man, Dean, dialed into the broadcast live and talked about how right on our coverage of this issue really is. And how it is tough, and the points we're making are serious. That's a recap of yesterday's show. Without further ado, News the Networks Refuse to Use starts now. The former sheriff, Richard Mack, with me. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Well, thanks, Sam. It's great to be with you this beautiful Texas morning.
It's not a Texas morning if you're not in Texas, is it?
Yeah. No, but about half the country is in Texas, though. I mean, Texas covers about half the country because everything's bigger here.
That is correct, and it's huge. By the way, we talked about homelessness quite a bit yesterday, and you might have a unique perspective on this as a former sheriff. You know, they made laws and done all kinds of things that it just makes it impossible to exist. And we talked about how difficult it is and how expensive it is even to get basic accommodations these days, with the laws saying you got to have running water, you got to have hot water, you got to have a certain amount of space per person, you got to this, you got to that, you got to have an address, you got to, I mean, there's so many laws on the books that it's about impossible for the homeless to get a foothold. And it's about impossible, I shouldn't say impossible, but about impossible for people like us, meaning well-meaning Christian people, to even help them, Sheriff.
Yeah, it has gotten very restrictive, and you know, you got to add into the equation the COVID 19 regulations, and that the that you have to be social distancing and all of that rot, and it's almost impossible to create your own charity and outreach to some of these people who are homeless. And. And then finding out why people are homeless is also a key to solving, making sure that they do have a place to be. And, you know, how do you get them jobs and how do you get them training? And it becomes a huge mess. And government usually makes it worse.
This idea that homelessness is a problem that's not going away anytime soon. Until we attack it head on, one size fits all simply doesn't work. You know, I don't know what to do about this. And I kind of highlighted this idea that, you know, I've driven all the way from Montana at the Canadian border all the way down to Texas, man, or, you know, and further. And, man, there's so much land available. It is shocking. But if I tried to go out in the middle of nowhere, far away from everything, where nobody could complain, no neighbors, no... And I were to basically try to get land. First off, it would be very difficult, if not impossible, for me to get land. Secondly, whatever county that land is in would have all kinds of restrictions. You know, Sam, you can't let people live this close together, or you can't let people live in tents. You got to have structures, or you got to have a road, or you got to have sewer, or you got to have power. You got to have, you know, appropriate sewage accommodations. You got to have running water. And they would regulate it to where, buddy, I don't know that I can even get it off the ground. There's a big joke about, you know, Noah's Ark, and if he tried to create it today, he'd just sit there with his head in his hands in tears because he couldn't get it done because of the regulations. You know, it's not too far from a joke, Sheriff, and I don't know, even if I wanted to help the homeless, I might provide a meal, I might volunteer, there's little things that I can do, but if right. I tried to create a homeless camp out in the middle of nowhere, I don't even think that I could get it done.
No, you're probably right. You probably wouldn't be able to get it done. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of some of the housing projects that are going up all across the country, and especially the ones I've seen in Arizona. Man, the houses are so close together, and they've had to alter or compromise on having homes so close together. It's supposed to be that if your home catches on fire, it's far enough away from the next home that it wouldn't catch fire on that one. And that regulation has been pretty much altered, changed, completely ignored or compromised. Compromised, key word right there. Yet, if you wanted to try to go do it just for a bunch of homeless people who really need it, you wouldn't even be able to do it. And, you know, there would be so many regulations getting in the way and making such an effort impossible. And again, just like you say, in the middle of nowhere where nobody even cares about that land or any type of development on that land would be an improvement, even if it didn't fit all the codes and zoning rules. But, I mean, how do you have zoning rules in the middle of the desert or whatnot? But, you know, obviously you have to have some sort of...
I don't know, but I don't know exactly how it works, but I know some examples of it. I've tried to go to certain counties and get land way out in the boonies. I mean, it's like, 15 miles or 20 miles even from any city at all, period. And so, you know, there's no electricity. There's no modern improvements of any kind. It's just raw land. And I can get the land really cheap, you know, $200-$300 an acre.
Right.
But the second I get it done now, I can't even get any water.
Right. That's the big deal there.
Well, what are you going to do with no water? Then I can't get electricity. Well, then the next thing is they say you can't divide it into pieces smaller than 50 acres.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to divide it, but you got to divide it or people can't. Anyway, it gets complex in a hurry. Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable Live, the good Sheriff Richard Mack and Sam Bushman on Extended Thanksgiving Day Live Radio Weekend.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine. Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org. Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right. I bring up this topic because it's serious, and I think a lot of people don't even know how to handle it. Don't know what to do about it. Don't feel like there's anything they can do to solve it. And it goes on and on. All right. And I think this is a huge issue, so I wouldn't be able to get water. I wouldn't be able to get... electricity. I wouldn't be able to have internet or sewage. I mean, it goes on and on of the regulations and the difficulty I would face. Let me give you an example. A headline says this: a group of San Diego, that's San Diego, California, housing advocates believe that building on property owned by churches and nonprofits could be the solution for creating more affordable homes, Sheriff. Now, that's a good idea. but I don't know how you get it done. There's all kinds of regulations against that as well. In fact, churches are under assault like you wouldn't believe, so I don't know that they could be the answer. You're not even allowed to have at churches more than, what, 10 or 25 people together if you're not careful? So I appreciate the church's efforts and ideas, but again, they're already being shut down before they ever even get started, Sheriff.
Yeah, it's such a sad commentary on that. And, you know, I drove by a bunch of makeshift tents in South Phoenix area, which we only live about, seriously, we live about 10 minutes from this location where there's quite a few homeless that have been set up there. And I mentioned it to Don, and I said, you know, what would you do to try to help these people? And do they want help? And do they, why are they there? But, you know, you got to wonder. And again, it's such an eyesore. It looked pretty much like those ones you see on the news in California. Mostly Southern California, and it's really sad. And you're right, I have dealt in the past with some of the homeless situations and some of the people that don't have a place to live in the smaller community that seems to be not that prevalent, but in the major cities it is. And which kind of makes me wonder, why wouldn't somebody rather set up a tent in a small town like Stafford, Arizona, instead of end up in the middle of Los Angeles, you know? So I don't know. It's a tough one to deal with, but I do know that the churches used to be much more involved in it and taking care of people. And they're just, it doesn't seem like they are anymore. And I think really because of all the government interference and regulations.
You know, and some people would say, well, we're not as Christian as we used to be, and we don't seem to care much about it. I think most people are just separated from it. They don't know how to deal with it. They don't have answers. They don't feel like they can make a difference. The only reason I know so much about it is because I've actually tried to build these kind of things. You know, what does it take to be of the above the basic level in terms of needs? You know, in other words, being homeless on the streets. You know, Walmart used to let people park in their parking lots. Now I don't know that you're allowed to do that anymore either. You know, people used to, you know, they try to live in cars. Well, that's above being homeless a little bit, kind of, but you're still definition-wise homeless. How do you protect your belongings while you try to look for a job or while you go to work? How do you get transportation? How do you take a shower and be clean? How do you, and the list just goes on and on and on of the troubles. But I find this interesting. That these San Diego advocates are trying to use churches to solve the problem. I think it's a wonderful idea, but it's already shut down. Newsom won't even let anybody gather for any reason. Churches can't, you know. But now the next headline says this, life in 4C cans. Calgary family moves into shipping container home. So, you know, it's even going on in Canada, and people are trying to find every way possible to deal with food, which means food and water, by the way. So food, shelter, clothes, and fuel. Fuel because you got to have that to cook. You got to have that to stay warm. You got to. So it's basically, you know, clothing, food and water, shelter, and fuel are the four main things that you got to have. And even getting those main things is very difficult. Because of shelter, you got to have all kinds of government regulations. You got to build it to this standard. You got to get this zoning approval. You can't have it in the city unless you hook it up to a city, you know, sewer system, which costs, you know, big money, $5,000 or whatever, just to hook it up. And when it goes on and on, even the most basic situations, there seems to be no answers due to regulation. When it comes to food, churches and nonprofit groups, people who don't have a, quote, food handling license can't even feed anybody. You know, churches tried to go to a park and feed people, and they got busted and shut down, Sheriff.
Yeah, there was one like that in Hawaii at a park right along Waikiki. And that's an area where I used to go walking. And it used to be just about every morning that the church had some food there. And, you know, they're preaching the gospel and giving food to the homeless. And they're not allowed to do it anymore. You know, and... But you really got to just throw up your hands and say, what do you do? And if you go outside the country, outside the United States, then your philanthropy is usually accepted, like taking food to Haiti. I have a good friend here from Texas that takes a bunch of food over to Haiti once a month. And it's easier to do it in the third world, you know, and they love you for doing it, and they totally are have their arms open to people who are doing that, because there's so many people in need. Well, there's so many people in need here too, and I guess you're just supposed to donate to these groups that you know, they use 90% of the donation for paying their employees, and 10% gets to, you know, maybe sometimes gets to the poverty-stricken people who really need it.
Now, in America, not only are individuals suffering that are maybe United States citizens to some degree.
Yeah.
I say to some degree because some people say, well, they're not a United States citizen or whatever. But now a headline says a new study's out. 14.3 million illegal aliens living in the United States are costing Americans $132 billion a year, Sheriff. President Trump tried to do something about that, but for the most part, not much has been done either.
No, and the costs are astronomical, and we continue to promote that. The Biden administration is encouraging more people, more illegal aliens, to come here. We're going to give you even more free stuff. We're going to give you free Social Security. We're going to give you the right to vote. We're going to give you free housing. We're going to give you and your kids free health care and free education. And that's absolutely astonishing that the Democrats get away from luring more people here to the United States who do so illegally. And so I'm sure that that's all going to be gone as soon as Harris and Biden become the heads of that. It's really scary how much the Democrats get away with in promoting illegal activity. And it's going to include, why wouldn't anybody who is poverty stricken in Latin America not try to come here? Because they're going to get all this free stuff. And they're literally asking people to come ahead. You know, the doors are open, the borders are open, and you get all this free stuff that you have never had before in your life. You know, so, and really the reverse of that, and the other side of that coin is, why don't we work with those countries in getting their countries operational, and that they actually create a middle class that is strong and healthy and having jobs, but most Latin American governments just simply will not get rid of their, of course, corruption. Now we're trying to do the same thing here. It's really astonishing. My degree from BYU was Latin American studies, and this was a key issue that we addressed all throughout the entire 2 years that I took that major, and it's astonishing how we just want to give free stuff and not help people get back on track and help economies become more inclusive to all the people that need it. And the problem with Mexico, especially, if you look at Mexico, they have a fantastic tourism industry, they have a fantastic agriculture, and they have natural resources. They should be a very wealthy country, and the people should be wanting to stay there. But the development and the corruption has stopped it.
They are a wealthy country, just none of the wealth ends up in the hands of the citizenry. We're starting to experience that in America as well. There's a tie between this homelessness and religion. We'll talk about it in seconds with the good Sheriff Richard Mack on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
President Trump's legal team lost again. A federal appeals court in Philadelphia Friday rejected the campaign's latest effort to challenge the state's election results. The three-judge panel are all Republican appointees, including Judge Stefanos Bibas, who was appointed by Trump. He wrote for the panel, quote, "Calling an election unfair does not make it so. Charges require specific allegations and then proof. We have neither here." Trump's lawyers vowed to appeal to the Supreme Court. South Dakota became the latest state to see at least one COVID-19 death for every 1,000 residents. The country also surpassed 13 million coronavirus cases. The tally comes as a new study from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimates about 1 in 8 coronavirus infections nationwide were reported. This is USA Radio News.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who've agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-460-1663. That's 1-800-460-1663. Again, 1-800-460-1663.
The United Kingdom is making sure the world's biggest tech companies are not dominating their country. Lance Pride with details from the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau.
The United Kingdom will impose new rules next year to prevent Google and Facebook from using their dominance to push out smaller firms and disadvantaged consumers. The code will be enforced by a dedicated unit within the Competition and Markets Authority, or CMA. The CMA wants to crack down on internet giants swallowing up smaller firms and is set to issue detailed plans in December. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pride.
An Iranian scientist named by the West as the leader of the Islamic Republic's disbanded military nuclear program was killed Friday in an ambush on the outskirts of Tehran. Iran's foreign minister alleged the killing of the scientist bore serious indications of an Israeli role but did not elaborate. Israel, long suspected of killing several Iranian nuclear scientists a decade ago, declined to immediately comment. The killing risked further raising tensions across the Mideast. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
There's an interesting parallel to this homeless situation, ladies and gentlemen. Richard Mack and Sam Bushman talking about it in detail. There's serious concern. And let me give you the headlines and the discussion points to highlight this. Then we'll talk about it. It says the economy seems to be falling off a cliff. Is America's commitment to religion doing the same? Interesting question by William C. Duncan. The New York Times columnist and Nobel Peace or Prize winning economist Paul Krugman recently noticed that, hey, economic data shows that the economy has fallen off a cliff. And about the same time this observation was made, a report from the American Enterprise Institute showed on a number of indicators that America's commitment to religion seems to be doing the same, falling off a cliff. The report was written by Lyman Stone. He's an adjunct fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, and it provides careful and detailed analysis about the decline of religiosity measured by affiliation with churches, not to mention church attendance and other factors in the United States of America. In summary, by any major measure, religiosity in America is declining. They say, as this report will show, peaking in 1960, the share of American adults attending any religious service in a typical week has fallen from 50% to 35% while the share of anybody claiming they're part of a religious body fell from 75% to 62%, respectively. And it used to be to where people would acknowledge that they're part of a religion. It was used to be 95%. Now it's 75%. The declines, folks, are stark. Data shows the percentage of Americans who are involved in religious affiliation tumbling. After the 1950s, then in chart form, it looks like it's falling off a cliff, they say. They say America's legal environment is ever increasingly secular. In other words, you have government control of education, government regulations. It's out of control. They say extensive government regulations inhibit the ability of religious schools to operate. So they basically point to education as one of the kind of relevant issues here. Okay? They say, you know, education is at the key or corner of this. But they say there's amendments in all kinds of states that prevent access to religious money, religious influence, etc. It goes on and on. They say they're careful not to suggest that this can only be in one direction. That, you know what, you got to have religion in life and you got to have life in religion. They believe things could change in the direction of increased religiosity, but they would have to have, well, governments participating in the solutions. Now, that's an interesting concept or idea, but I bring this all up, Sheriff, in light of this homeless situation. I mentioned that it's government regulations and government prohibiting Christians from actually doing their Christian duty that's at the core of all this. And it's very serious. Sorry, go ahead, Sheriff.
Well, it is, and I think you've nailed it right there, is that people have stopped donating, even to their own churches, because I think we've all been brainwashed into believing that it's government's responsibility and government will take care of it, or government will prevent me from doing anything to help my neighbors. You know, it's almost like you can't make a stew for your neighbors who the mother is sick or somebody else is sick, maybe the father, I don't care which one. But somebody is sick in the home, and so, you know, you take food over to them, you know, and maybe you do it a lot, and maybe neighbors take turns helping the neighbor. It's almost like, well, you have to get that, you're not authorized to be in food service, and you have to get that checked, and you have to send out the health department to make sure that that's okay. Because look at all the COVID-19 health restrictions, and it's all up to a non-elected bureaucratic health department to say what we can and cannot do and how we can have a Thanksgiving dinner. And so, you know, I'm grateful that we're still able. Isn't that amazing, Sam? We're actually saying we're grateful that we can still get seven or eight of us together at my son's house. So, without government interference. That's just astonishing that we've gone there. And it's astonishing how you can't be a good neighbor anymore, and you can't be helping the homeless or people in need unless you go through a certified, bona fide charity to do it.
Well, government approved, government regulated, government monitored, government whatever charity as well. And even folks aren't able to help because now they're not allowed to gather at all. If you want to go to a pole dancing bar, you want to go to, no problem. You want to go to church, though,
Well, that actually happened in California, exactly what you just said. Churches were shut down, but they said that it was a First Amendment issue. First Amendment issue now for strip clubs to stay open. But they didn't give the same First Amendment protection, which is the first issue even in the entire Bill of Rights and in the First Amendment, is freedom of religion. And so, you know, it just shows how sick the entire system has gotten because we have sick people running it. And it's astonishing that we are letting this go, and all in the name of protecting us. It's for your own good. And I think that's way obvious now, especially with the hypocrisy of Cuomo and Newsom and others. It's been huge hypocrisy. And it's gone to the point now where people are so sick of it, they're actually trying to recall Whitmer in Michigan. And no, impeach her, not recall her. They're trying to impeach her, and that's gaining a lot of traction. And it's really sad that Inslee, the governor that's really gone crazy out there, that it's some of the Democrats that didn't actually catch on and say, yeah, you know what? We have a good, solid, conservative chief of police, our chief of police of the year last year, running for governor, and he actually won the Republican primary and went head-to-head against Inslee, where, you know, freedom could have been restored, and the voters had the chance. And who knows, maybe that was voter fraud in Washington State also, because I just can't see how anybody with any reason in their head would not have supported Chief Culp to be the next governor of Washington State. It's astonishing. Maybe we are getting the government we deserve. I'm not sure of that, though, because of all the voter fraud. But it kind of sounds like Fievel goes west, you know. There are no cats in America. There's no voter fraud in America. And if there is, it's so small that it doesn't really matter. It won't change anything. It doesn't change any of the elections. That's the one that gets to me the most. But, you know, the from homelessness to voter fraud, you know, you try to fix them, and it just never happens. And it kind of makes me feel like Glenn Beck, when he just did his rant a couple of days ago about how we have all this information out there about all the crimes committed by Hillary and the Bidens and the Democrats, and nothing ever happened. He threw his papers at the camera and just said, I've had it. I'm just so sick and tired of all of this. It's amazing that we're still talking about these sort of things in the United States of America.
Well, and it's hard to know how to move forward. So if you take the average smallest person around, Sam Bushman, just say, in terms of trying to help the homeless, all the way on up to the Trump administration and the Barack Obama administration, in other words, the last two administrations, and they're not able to move the needle. And we find that there's 14-plus million illegal aliens living in America that's costing us $132 billion a year. And then we basically say, whether you're illegal or not, hey, you can't live in these circumstances, and the economy's falling off a cliff, and religion seems to be going right along with it. You got to kind of ask yourself, what's it going to look like under a Biden administration? And we'll get to this, then I'll give you a headline from Captain America that relates. What is life going to look like under the Joe Biden administration? How's that going to relate to the problems we're facing, not only with the homeless and the illegal aliens, but for our own personal lives, Sheriff?
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
How many times do I have to tell you? I swear, it just goes in one ear and out the other.
Don't you understand English?
Your children are probably too polite to tell you.
Hello, those things on the side of your head aren't turnips.
But they get just as frustrated when you won't listen to them as you do when they won't listen to you.
Do I need to speak slower?
In fact, few things show children how much they're valued and respected more than a parent's willingness to listen.
Tell me what you did at work today.
Studies show when parents listen, children develop better listening skills themselves. They also tend to have more self-confidence and are more likely to avoid alcohol and drugs.
Now sit down here and tell me all about it.
When you really listen, love is what they'll hear.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. The good Sheriff Richard Max with us. So, you know, religious liberty falling off a cliff in America, the economy falling off a cliff, illegal aliens everywhere, homeless people, you know, becoming homeless more at an alarming rate, the economy in the doldrums, to say the least. You could say the economy's pretty good and bouncing back, and I agree, but good compared to what? Compared to shutting it all down? Okay, it's great. But what's going to happen if we start to shut down more? What's going to happen if the pandemic wave happens? What's going to happen if Joe Biden takes the helm? How's it going to look for you and I and churches? And, you know, it used to be to where we could live our life. And, you know, if we weren't homeless or illegal, or we just, for the most part, had a peaceful life with no problems. Is that about to end, Sheriff? What's it going to look like?
Well, Sam, I think it comes back to a little bit of what the Democrats are offering us. They're either offering us a communist takeover of the country with Harris and Biden, more Harris than Biden. Biden's trying to be a little bit moderate, and you can see that a little bit in some of his picks for the cabinet, and the progressives are getting mad, and it doesn't look like Elizabeth Warren is getting anything, and she was out campaigning to get that, and Bernie Sanders was out campaigning to get it, and you got to wonder where Kamala Harris is in those picks, because she's the most liberal senator, and this is the bottom line. This is what the Democrats are offering. You're trying to say what's America going to look like. Well, it's either a and maybe I could soften that a little bit. It's a complete socialistic takeover of America, which is on its way, obviously, to a communist agenda. And then you have the other alternative, though, is if Trump is successful in exposing the voter fraud and corruption that kept him from retaining the White House. And so this is our alternative. We either have a bloodbath of violence if Trump stays in, or we get the complete destruction of America and the destruction of our Constitution and the complete and utter fundamental change they've been promising ever since Barack Obama took the reins of the White House. And it's even been before that, obviously, but this has been accelerated under Obama, and it's gone to Mars. Phenomenal changes that we never thought would be there because of COVID-19. And luckily, they found their way to get those changes through the health departments of this country and the emergency powers of every governor, supposedly, that they have, and they're going to continue to take them and steal them and usurp them, whether they have them or not. And we have about maybe a 50% response from the courts, where the courts are totally supporting whatever the governors want to do and the mayors, or we have the other side where it's been 50% that no, they can't. And it doesn't appear that the U.S. Supreme Court, their latest ruling that you mentioned, 5-4, to stop Governor Cuomo from destroying religious freedom, but it was too watered down even then, and that they can do some of this other stuff. So I think the predicament that America has been put in by the Democrats and, oh, yes, and Republicans as well, that what? we either have a complete upheaval of Civil War type of violence, or we just succumb to the complete socialistic, communistic takeover of America. Wow, that's an amazing choice we have. And that's really the choice we have.
I don't know how to respond to that, Sheriff, except for I don't know what I can do to change it or make a difference at all.
I know.
And I'm not, on one hand, I'm a nobody, right? I'm just the average Joe. On the other hand, I am a nationally syndicated talk show host, one of the top 250 talkers in the nation, according to Talkers Magazine. I am somebody who's interviewed people for over 25 years, bringing solutions to the table to the best of my ability. But I feel like now there's nothing that I can do except for either one, stay in harm's way and keep it up, or shut it down and go away.
Yeah, yeah, that's and that's kind of, I think, what we're all going to be looking at in a way, because what do you do? I mean, when the violence starts, what do you do? You know, I just, should we sit on top of our houses, hide behind the chimney stack at our, in our homes, you know, start shooting people who are running the streets and throwing Molotov cocktails? Or do we go bunker down somewhere with our family? Do we just try to stay home and ride out the storm? Or do we fight back? Or do we have an organized, literally an organized civil war? I don't know how that would ever look, or that I could ever support any violence of any kind. Obviously, you and I support violence to an extent. We supported the Revolutionary War, which was a complete breakaway from tyranny. And you know, Jefferson said, "Defiance of tyranny is obedience to God." Well, how far do we take that? And in America today, with all the technology, is a Revolutionary War even possible? And so, you know, I look at what's going on, and I said this on your show about a week ago, that I was scared to death of the options. I really am. I still am. And, you know, I'm going to be 68 next month, and a month from yesterday, I'll be 68. You know, I've had a great life, but the thing of it is, I really worry about my children and grandchildren and what they're facing, they're going to be facing. And I'm telling you, even in my own family, I see the kids that totally support the Democrat side and the liberalism and the destruction of our Constitution. Nobody really cares about that. As long as government is taking care of me, we just have people that totally trust that. And that's what I find the brainwashing of our youth and the brainwashing of Americans nationwide is what I find the scariest.
Well, we heard Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, say, hey, we need to create lists for retribution against people who are Donald Trump supporters. It's hard for me to determine if I'm a supporter or not. I didn't vote for him. I'm kind to him. Whenever he does right, I give him credit. Whenever he does wrong, I articulate why I think he's wrong. It's hard for me to know if I'm a Trump supporter or not, okay? I mean, I guess I am. But not totally. All right, but here's the deal. So Ocasio-Cortez said that, and at first you laugh it off and go, oh, she's just a whacked out little girl. She's, you know, in Congress, you know, the Peter Principle at work. She's way beyond her knowledge, way beyond her ability to perform. Nevertheless, you think, I'm going to dismiss her. But now you see headlines like this. Ready? Captain America star Chris Evans now joined a chorus of unhinged Hollywood liberals over the weekend who are now calling for communist style lists to be compiled of Trump supporters for implied retribution once Trump leaves office. So now there's a chorus of people, Captain America star among them, Ocasio-Cortez among them. So now you're talking about people with a lot of money, people that are very influential, and people that are in Congress all calling for, let's build a list. Let's add Richard Mack and Sam Bushman, and never mind that we're not totally Trump supporters, but let's create a roundup list. Okay, this is what they did back in the Hillary Clinton days as well. But now it's going to be on steroids, Sheriff.
Yeah, that's, again, Sam, the scary part of all of this, it just gets scarier and scarier. And, you know, and again, if it was just me, you know, I wouldn't be too worried about it. Obviously, I'd be worried about my wife and her welfare, you know. But, you know, she and I could probably go hide somewhere, you know, go stay with our nephew who's a complete liberal and, you know, maybe hide out with them for a few months or something. I don't know. But I believe that we could go hide somewhere. But then what do we do about our children and grandchildren, and what do we do about our country? And it's astonishing that Chris Evans and those people are getting away with that, but they're getting away with it because the Democrats want exactly that. And, you know, every time we think AOC is completely whacked out, she gets a lot of support. He just totally gets a lot of support, and I find her agenda completely ridiculous and scary, and I thought it was a joke, but she gets reelected in a landslide, and I thought, you know what, there's no way even idiot New Yorkers are going to reelect that lady. But lo and behold, Sam, they do, and I say that every year. I said, who are the idiots in California that keep reelecting Feinstein and Pelosi, you know? So maybe again, it's all voter fraud and they don't have to worry about it. But do we really have that many stupid people in the country? If we do, that just proves how whacked out and effective our brainwashing is in this country. Just keep giving me stuff and we're going to be fine. And people don't care other than that they just simply want to be taken care of by government. And my question is to everybody, who in government do you trust? People who cannot even balance their own budget that have put us now over $32 trillion in debt and continue to tell us that that's no problem and that we can keep doing it and we got more coming. And people who can't even balance their budget, but we totally trust them to take care of our health and
well, in the meantime, they're going to shut down our businesses, though. You're not going to be able to even work, Sheriff. And now they want to put together a universal basic income for you to make sure that you can have enough money to survive while you don't work.
Oh, good. Well, good. I don't have to worry about anything then. I guess it's a good thing I resigned from teaching because now I'm going to be taken care of by my Democrat friends.
Your ability to travel is going to be severely hampered because they're going to say you got to take the vaccine to travel. So your ability to travel and speak is going to be shut down or curtailed tremendously. That's if that list doesn't get you.
Well, I think freedom of speech will be there as long as you're promoting liberalism, socialism, communism, and Democrats. You're going to be fine. So maybe we'll just have to change the name of your show, Sam.
Liberal Roundtable instead of Liberty Roundtable?
Yeah.
Communist Radio Live?
Yeah.
CSL?
The Commie Corner.
Wow. You know, and I don't mean to be so negative on this, but I look at the plight of the homeless, I look at the plight of the illegal aliens, and now I look at the plight of the American citizen, and I go, is our plight a whole lot better than theirs? In some ways, yes. In many ways, not so much.
Yeah. Pretty astonishing.
Our prayers are with you, brother. Travel safe.
Hey, thanks so much, Sam. God bless you.
There you go. Sheriff Richard Mack with us, ladies and gentlemen. These are serious, weighty matters. I'll tell you that right now. And you can say, Sam, what are you on this homeless bender for? Because I see a serious problem in America, and I see it getting worse at every turn. It used to be the homeless were tucked away, and you couldn't really, you know, deal with them except for asking you for a little bit of money. Now you see literally their tent cities when you're driving down the freeway. What's next? How bad will it get? Well, the answer is when you see society melting down and religion being... Well, people are turning their backs on religion nationwide. You got to think there's a parallel and ask people to come back to God, family, and country. I'm Sam Bushman. God save the Republic of the United States of America.